Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we have a choice to rejoice. Amen? We have a choice to rejoice. You want to choose to be miserable? Don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Christ was never miserable. He was joyful. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. As you can see, I'm wearing a Total Freedom shirt today. Total Freedom. These are shirts that are New York Total Freedom. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Blessed and refreshed. You know, I just want to encourage everyone here, no matter where you are in your walk, and if you don't have a walk, start one. But God is the source of everything, and everything is a resource. When we put a resource before the source, it gets misdirected. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Because there's a desire that God has for me and you, that is to practice righteousness. And what you desire, you will practice. If you desire to live godly, you'll practice godliness. If you don't desire to live godly, you will practice evil. It's real simple. You can make every excuse there is. But the Bible says that you must work out your own salvation. You must. The Lord says, my people, my own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus came and he said, follow me. Follow me. That's what the word believe means. Follow. He said he went after the lost sheep, not the ones that were found. Has everybody got it? He went after the what? Lost sheep, not the ones that are found. So after you've been found, you know the truth, it's your responsibility to chase the Lord. Has everybody got it? So many people go, well, you know, we're to warn people about certain things, but I don't chase people that choose to serve evil. If they want to serve evil, go ahead. That's all we can do is declare truth. Amen? We declare truth. But if a person doesn't want truth, that's up to them. But again, what you desire is what you will practice. So this is what we must ask ourselves on a daily basis. What am I practicing? Well, then that's what my desire is. And one of the things that the Lord had shared with me today, he says, my people need to overcome false and evil desires, because these are false desires. Overcoming evil desires, because these desires are a lie. And if you believe a lie, follow a lie, and serve a lie, you are practicing evil. Word says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we must begin to discern our desires. What is my desire? What is my motive? You know, people begin to manipulate other people just to get what they desire. And the reason why they manipulate, because that desire is not of God. If you must manipulate, that desire is not God. People use drugs and alcohol because there's an evil desire there that wants to be fed. It is a lie because it never produces any good fruit, but it produces death. And in everything else, the wages of sin is death, isn't it? So there's an area where you and I have to become more sensitive and discerning in the area of desire so that we can overcome evil desires. In James chapter 1, would you turn there, please? Overcoming evil desires. Is an evil desire a truth? No, it's a lie. James chapter 1. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. The devil doesn't stop tempting you. Now, you may think, well, is this ever going to be over with? I have an answer for you. No. No, it will never be over with until the day you are taken from this planet. Hello. The ruler of this world is Satan, and there's evil desires everywhere. As soon as you wake up in the morning, the devil stands at the end of your bed with a list. You need to do this. Oh, you don't need to pray yet. He will prevent you from doing the right thing if you let him. James chapter 1 and verse 12, would you read it with me? Blessed, everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
Is the man who what? Endures temptation, that means overcomes. So if a man doesn't overcome temptation, what is he? He's cursed. He's what? Cursed. And where there's a curse, there's a demon. Yeah. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been what? Approved. he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love. In other words, the Lord knows you're going to go through temptations every single day. There's temptation. There's always a temptation to do the ungodly thing. Always. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Look at God does not afflict you. The enemy does. Now, God may use the enemy, but the enemy does. Hello. God does not tempt anyone. Has everybody got it? He doesn't tempt anyone. No, you're in the right door. Hallelujah. God doesn't tempt you. Does everybody understand that? In fact, we fall into our own temptations. Watch this. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. It's amazing how many times people blame God. Oh, God, why did you allow this to happen? God didn't allow it to happen. We did. Hallelujah. 14. For each one is what? Tempted when he is drawn away by his what? His own what? His own desires. He's tempted when he's drawn away by his desires. Does everybody see that? And enticed. Okay, what's a desire? A desire is a want to fulfill a feeling or emotion. It is a want. I want this. Why do you want it? Because you want to fulfill a feeling or emotion. Does everybody got it? That's what a desire is. When you desire something because you want something. And you desire it because you want to have a fulfillment of something. So it's to fulfill your emotions or a feeling. That's what a desire is. And that's what the enemy knows. So he plays. Let me tell you, he can play people like a puppet. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived. In other words, when it's gone from one level to another, it gives birth to sin. Sin is the presence of evil. So what happens is that desire is being thrown at you by the presence of evil. When you acknowledge it, oh, yeah, that feels good. Now you want a desire. You know, one of the things the devil plays with is your ego. Hello. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, which is the presence of evil. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to what? Death. Does everybody see that? So again, what is a desire? It is a want to fulfill a feeling or emotion. In 1 John chapter 2, are there good desires? Yes. But one of the things people do is they begin to justify, reason, compromise evil desires because they can't let go of that desire of fulfilling that feeling. I've got to have it. That's why we have male hunters and female hunters. They have a desire. I got to have him. I got to have her. I have to have this. I have to have that. I must have this or I can't live without it. Well, then you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand that? The Bible says something very powerful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Everyone say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That want means I shall not lack, nor shall I desire the ungodly. Has everybody got it? I shall not desire the ungodly. I shall not want the ungodly. I shall not lust over the ungodly. See, you have dominion over your desire. Even Jesus says that. And we'll go there in a second. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, would you read it with me? Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, that word love is also associated with desire. People want to be loved. People want to give love. But there's a difference between the love of the world and the love of God. When we were in the world, we saw love in a different arena than the love of God. Because see, if you're not filled with the love of God, you truly can't give true love. You can't give true love. That's all you can do is give a desire. But you can't give love. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In other words, and all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desires of the eye, and the desire of pride is of the world. And who's the ruler of the world? Satan. Amen? And is not of the Father above, but it is the Father of beneath. He says something powerful. He says, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. So has the world passed away yet? No. Well, when it does, and all the darkness is gone, then that desire will no longer tempt you. But until then, we turn the pages to another chapter in life of temptation and desire. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will, everyone say, does the will of God abides forever. Ooh. So the temptations of the devil want you to do the will of the devil, doesn't he? So if he can prevent you from doing the will of God, can you make it home? No. But I've been a believer for 30 years. Well, whose will are you still doing? See, so many people just throw this out. Well, I've been a believer of Jesus Christ. Well, then why are you still going to the bar? See, the word believe means to follow. Did Jesus go to the bar and drink with you? Did he go to the crack house? Did he, Hello, does everybody understand that? Does everybody get this? It's amazing on how many times we think that it's okay to do the things of ungodliness when it's not God's will. Is it God's will for you to do the things ungodly? No. Then you will not enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of God can abide forever. So there's the will of God and there's the will of man. The will of man is under the authority of Satan and his desires. So you're going to either serve Satan in his kingdom or God in his kingdom. There is no gray area. Well, I'm under grace. Well, grace is the will of God to escape. So if you're not doing the will of God, you're not under grace. Grace is not some magical, mystical thing that excuses me and you from serving the devil. That is a lie from hell and is not the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He said, only those who do the will of God shall abide forever. That's it. Everybody got it? No excuses, no justification, and no reasoning. God always makes a way of escape for me and you. Always. Always. The thing is we want to still do it our way. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. This says that they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they'd been with us, they would have continued with us. What drew them out? Evil desire. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you what? Know all things. So if you know all things, will you know when temptation is coming? Yes, you will be able to discern it. But you must be filled with the Spirit of God, because the more you're filled, the more you see. The more you're filled, the more you hear. The more you're filled, the more dominion and power you have to overcome all desires and temptations. So what happens is when a person agrees with a desire, a demon enters his body. And then that demon knows, because that desire is a want. And if it's an evil desire, that demon enters the body, and that person cannot stop what he's doing, because that demon must be fed. Whether it's lust, pornography, whether it's drinking alcohol, whether it's shooting dope, smoking cigarettes, whatever it is a demon that brings damage to the body. No, it's just a desire. Don't you get it? A desire is the presence of evil, if it's an evil desire. Amen? Now, one of the things that the devil loves to do too, now you may have a godly desire, but the enemy will like to bring anxiousness. Hello? So he likes to promote the desire to be anxious, which is also fear, so that you try to fulfill that desire without the anointing. And if you fulfill that desire without the anointing, it crumbles. Then you got to maintain it. It's like going out and buying a car. God said, don't buy it, but it looks pretty. Man, I want that car, Lord. Don't buy it. But, Lord, I want that car. Okay, go ahead. That's how God operates. Oh, Lord, why'd you let me buy that car? Man, I told you not to buy that car. It's a piece of garbage. Man, I got to put all kinds of money in it. I got to do this. I got to do that. Hello. Oh, praise God. Lord, why did you let me marry that person? Tell him, sister. you better know that that's the right person. I'm telling you, you better have a supernatural confirmation so that you can rely on that when things aren't going well, you can't say, God, why did you let me marry that person? Because you know that you know that you know God told you to. So when things get rough, you fight because you know it's God's will. Woo-hoo. We better go to the next scripture. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, to desire ice cream, is that evil?
No.
Well, we had a full confirmation on that one, didn't we? No, ice cream is not evil. Ice cream is not evil, but if you're told not to eat it because it's dangerous to your health, is it become evil then to you? Yes. Amen. Everybody's going, man, I want an ice cream now. Why did he have to mention that? I won't go any further with that. Genesis chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Genesis 4 and verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, bore Cain, and Cain said, I have acquired, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his name, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock, of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, again, why did Cain bring the wrong offering? Because of a desire. He said, look, this is what I desire to bring. But see, what's God's desire? He wanted animals. So everybody got it. He wanted blood. In fact, he showed Adam and Eve before he released them from the garden. Didn't he do? He killed an animal and he covered them with it. So already Adam knew exactly what to do, and he was telling his children what kind of offering to bring to the Lord. One brought the right one, one brought the wrong one. Amen? So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fell? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, if you remove that evil desire and do the right thing and quit doing your will and do my will, won't you be accepted? Won't your sacrifice be accepted? Not won't he be accepted, because he was already accepted no matter what. God has already created him. He was already accepted. If you do not do well, if you're not willing to do my will, then what? Sin lies at the door. In other words, the presence of evil is waiting to enter you. And it's what? Desire is for you, but you should what? In other words, you should rule over your desires. Is everybody okay? So should we rule over our desires? Yes. The enemy's desire is for you to enter you so then he can produce more desires. That's why we must shut every door. And Proverbs 23. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I think it's still amazing to me that, and it's baffling to me, that still too many people don't believe in evil spirits and demons. It's baffling to me. And I can tell you that the ones that don't believe have them, because it's a spirit of unbelief. It's a demon. And its desire is to prevent an individual from coming into the presence of God or following God and his truth. Only the devil gives you that desire to be rebellious. In Proverbs 23 and verse 1, would you read it with me? When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to what? Appetite. Do not desire his what? Delicacies, for they are what? Deceptive food. There is deceptive food. In other words, that is almost like, in other words, when you desire something, and man, you know, we pick up, I'm not going to mention the name, but we pick up all kinds of pastries and stuff every week and whatever, and it's a blessing because we can bless others. But let me tell you something. Those things come across our path every day. And there may be a desire. Even your mouth can start watering. You know? Man, you know. But you know that if you start eating them, you're in trouble. You know? So in that, you got to be careful in what you desire, because there is deceptive food. Now, there's deceptive physical food, and there's also deceptive spiritual food. That's called false doctrines. There's deceptive spiritual food where people get granola'd, nutty and fruity, where people become bound by religion. I mean, there's all kinds of religions out there. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. It's only one day of service. There's only one day where you can worship the Lord. There's only one, whatever. There's only one day of rest. That's just plumb crazy. Has everybody got it? That's plumb crazy. Now, in that, what we want to be able to do, we want to rest in the Lord every single day, don't we? Every move, everything. Every day, we rest in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. We follow the Lord. So for me and you, every day is a Sabbath. Because the word Sabbath means rest. It's not one specific day or whatever, or how you dress. You know, we were at this place, man, there was women with long dresses, hot as can be. They're up there repairing a roof. I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. They love the Lord. But see, you know, they don't adorn themselves or whatever. They just, you know, whatever. But all of this is a part of religion, foolish religion. And that's a desire that is created by the devil to bring people a form of religion, but it really has no power over the indulgence of the flesh. None. None. Now, of course, we want to dress moderately. We want to do the thing because we don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else in lust or anything else. So in this, because we have a relationship with the Lord, our desires should come from Him, not from the world. And the desires that are from the world, we should have dominion over. Dominion over. Has everybody got it? We should have what? Dominion over. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Glory. Is everybody okay? Verse something. Let's see. In verse 11. Glory to God. We'll just take dominion over those desires. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Let's speak it together. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your what? Own affections. What's another word for affection? Desire. So evil desires will restrict you from doing the right thing. They put limitations on us. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? So there are desires that will cause us restriction. It prevents us from growing. It prevents us from maturing. And it'll put a person in a state of religiosity also. In Romans 7. Romans 7. Hallelujah. Romans 7, 5. Glory. Let's speak it together. For when we were in the flesh, is everybody there? For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On contrary, I would not have known sin except for through the law. Why? Because the law exposed sin. They didn't know they were sinning until the law came. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Why? Because he realized that there was sin. He was living a life of sin, and there was something that had to be done about it. Does everybody understand that? And sin is the presence of what? Evil. That means that he was having desires that he realized that were evil desires, and the law was exposing them. So the presence of evil is sin. The law is a tutor that exposes the presence of evil desires. But the ministry of the Spirit now, the new covenant, is a mentor. And what it does is it strengthens us, empowers us to overcome evil desires, because it not only exposes it, but it empowers you to overcome it. Does everybody got it? So there's a difference. In Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Overcoming evil desires. Verse 22. Would you read it with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So those who are Christ, those who are walking in the Spirit, those who are being led by the Spirit, those who are walking in the Spirit because they're backed by the anointing, and the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. The anointing tells you all things to come. Again, what you desire is what you practice. Go to verse 16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desire of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or you desire. In verse 18, is everybody there? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Verse 19, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice. Why? Because you practice what you desire. Those who practice such things will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Does everybody see that? Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So understand that the enemy wants to impose on you evil desires to do his will and not the will of God. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 1, and it says, in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the what? The desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as all the others. So in this we see that there's the desires of the flesh. The enemy again imposes desires that prevents you from doing the will of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. How many of y'all know that the enemy will oppose a desire that puts everything before God? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Is that happening today? Amen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their what? Own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables or lies. In other words, these desires are causing individuals to leave churches and going to places that it will agree with what that desire is, not knowing that they're heading on the way to hell. You know, we have churches now that are promoting same-sex marriage. That desire is not from my Father. Again, he did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Amen. So in this, there is a purpose in marriage, isn't there? So in this union of marriage, God uses that as an example for the union of marriage between us and him. Us and him. But there first must be a desire with him. His desire must be number one. And whatever it may be, Lord, what is your desire for me? See, there must be a communion. If there's not a relationship, then you're going to have ungodly desires, and you're going to think that they're of God. Who's going to check those desires? Well, you're responsible for checking your own desires, because the Bible says you're to rule over them. I get calls from many people, all kinds of desires, let me tell you. But we're to rule our desires, aren't we? Amen? Listen, we want to fulfill the will of God in our mission of why we've been sent here. You weren't rescued for without a purpose. You and I were rescued to fulfill a mission from God. People ask me something once in a while, and I'll always throw this up, on a mission from God. Yeah, right you are. Hallelujah. Because they don't know. In Matthew 16, 24. You know, I just really believe that we're getting closer and closer to not only the Lord's return, but a lot of things getting ready to happen. You know, even in revival, there's a lot of judgment. When God's glory is released, there's not only revival, there's judgment. That means people will die. Well, there's a lot of revival, there's a lot of death. People will die. Someone will have their last opportunity. I already knew sometimes that I'd be speaking to a person, the Lord share with me, I know that person's going to die. Like, man, that person's going to die because he hasn't done what God has asked him to do for so long. And the Lord is going to take him home so he doesn't go to hell. And I thought, wow. The next thing I know, it's happened to two people I know. A person died to be rescued from going home. I mean, going to hell. So he went home. Hello? Is everybody okay? And I just believe that there's more and more things getting ready to happen. And I believe that there's got to be more preaching and teaching of the area that, you know, no matter who you are, hell's door is always open to me and you. Amen. In Matthew 16, is everybody there? In 24, would you read it with me? And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone what? Desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. So if you have a desire to follow God, then you must have a desire to deny yourself. If you don't have a desire to deny yourself, then you don't have a desire to follow God. Let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. That word follow is believe. Amen? Look at 25. For if anyone desires to what? Save his life, he will what? Lose it. Whoa. See, there are many people who are still fighting for their life instead of surrendering it. That desire to save your life is evil. What? Yes, that desire for you to save your life is evil. It is an evil desire. Why? Because God says you're to what? Surrender your life. Surrender your life. You know, and what a difference in surrendering your life comparing to trying to save it, isn't there? You know, it's just amazing to me. It's like somebody trying to drown. Or not trying to drown, drowning. So they're in the swimming, they're in the water. And that's what a person trying to save their life is always about. They're in survival mode all the time. They got to do that. But you know, when you stop and you surrender, you become buoyant. You actually begin to float. Glory to God. These are things that Jesus is saying, desire. Lose your life. He says in another scripture, he says, if you desire to be first, then you're going to be a servant. Amen? There's many people who want to be first. He says, if you're going to be desire to be great, you're going to be a servant. I mean, things get flipped upside down in the kingdom of God compared to the world. Because you are not first. He is. He is. He is. And until he becomes first, you won't associate with evil desires. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. Is everybody okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, the desire to be rich, in other words, money is the person's God. They can't live without money. Money is their life instead of the Lord being in their life. In other words, money is their source. The Lord's not their source yet. Remember, God is the source. Everything else is a resource. That doesn't mean we don't need to have some money. Yeah, But when the Lord directs you, when He is your source, He directs you to make money. He directs you in places. He provides. He is the source. And sometimes it comes in the strangest ways. Strange. Somebody can knock on your door. A job can open. This can. Anything can happen. But you know when it's from God that it's safe. Amen? So people desire to be rich. Listen, I don't mind having a load of cash. But my desire is not to be rich. My desire is to have the money to be able to meet people's needs in other areas. Those that can't meet their need. Those that can't get out. Those that are hurting and in need. Those that can't go down to a corner store and get some food. And the Bible says something, another thing very powerful. It says, desire. In fact, I want to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Next. What are you doing? Huh? Rocks? Oh, garage door. They said you're throwing rocks. I'm thinking, what? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 1, what does it say? Pursue love and desire what? Spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. You know, many people don't even know about them. They don't know that every believer can pray in tongues if they desire. They don't know that every believer should prophesy if they desire. They don't know. Many people haven't told them. Hello. In verse 39, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. It says desire to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I just don't believe in that because many people don't believe the Bible. I had a woman come up to me after a service, and I mentioned something about homosexuality and just left it at that. And she came up and she said, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. I had to put my desires under control. She said to me that her son was born that way. I said, that's not true. Your son was not born that way. It's a spirit. And she continued to argue with me, and I was like, okay, never mind. I said, obviously, you don't read the Bible. I said, I share with her, I said, look, I only preach what I'm led to preach. Well, I'm not telling you what to preach, but you shouldn't speak that from the pulpit. I thought, okay, so then you're trying to tell me what to preach. And I share with her, I said, you know, if I was you, I'd be in fear because you don't know the truth. I would be in fear of what would happen because you don't know the truth. And I left her at that. But there are many people who just don't get it. They don't know. And that's why we've got to tell them. We've got to tell them what the truth is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're walking around with evil desires and not knowing that. I wanted to tell her who told you to come up and tell me this. But she wouldn't have gotten it. But praise be to God, I forgived her and blessed her and left it at that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? Come on, you're moving fast today, aren't you? Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 10. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it's 10. Go to verse 12. What does it say? Yes, and all who what? Desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecutions. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In John 15, overcoming evil desires. Here is the key to overcoming evil desires. Hallelujah. John 15, in verse 5, would you read it with me? I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Why? Because you are going to ask what he's already giving you a desire for. Because without abiding, you cannot discern. Without abiding, has everybody got it? You cannot exchange. So one of the things you want to do is exchange your evil desires for his desires. So whatever evil desires that you may have that you're struggling with, you exchange them. Lord, but that cannot be done without abiding. He says, he who abides in me and I in him, and my words abide in you. Now, if his words are abiding in you, you know what he desires. So you're not going to ask anything that he doesn't desire. Do you understand that? The Bible warns us, you ask and don't receive, but you ask and don't get because you ask amiss. And what's it for? You're actually evil desires, to spend money on your evil desires. And that's why we don't get. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, the key is abiding, isn't it? Why? Because abiding allows you to recognize. Without recognizing these evil desires, without discerning these evil desires, you cannot exchange them. And things that are out of God's time is not a godly desire. Is everybody okay? And I want to close at Psalm 141. And I think this is a prayer that we need to speak. Overcoming evil desires. Abiding brings the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. You'll be able to recognize and exchange. In Psalm 141, let's speak it from the beginning. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense, the lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies, because what you eat is what you become. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, and when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord, and you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. And let the wicked fall into their own nets while I'll escape safely. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be. I want to encourage you to speak this prayer for the next 7 days. So you speak it, you spoke it today, speak it to all the way till next Sunday. Amen. Every day, speak this prayer. And let's overcome evil desires. Evil desires, because they're lies from the enemy, and that's all they do is bring death. Amen? Death, destruction, and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Overcoming evil desires, begin to recognize them. And begin to exchange them. But it can't be done if you don't abide. That's abide in prayer, abide in worship, and abide in fellowship. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this word be imparted and protected by the blood of Jesus. Let it grow and let it be a witness to each and every one and through us. I want to thank all the listeners and all the viewers today. I encourage you to continue to go to the eternallibrary.org. Learn, grow, because if you learn, you won't get burned.